to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live and doing everything entertainment at MyTalk107.1.com. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Welcome back.
Thank you. You know, we start off every show with the top three or four stories that got our pants on fire. Light a match.
You're back. That's what my pants are on fire about. Bradley.
Yes.
It did take a lot to drag me away from you.
It did actually took the rains down in Africa.
I miss the rains down in Africa.
Do you?
I do, actually, although it didn't rain. There was like a tiny drop or two here or there, but yeah, no. I'm back. I've been in Africa for a week. I'm taking off my shoes.
You've got to be kidding me.
You've got to be kidding me. I'm not, actually.
Okay.
I'm here.
So
it only took me 30 hours to get here.
No big deal. No, so I have spent the last... I feel fortunate that I have seen you now for... Yesterday, we spent some time together. We spent some time together already this morning. Yesterday was Pride. So I've had an opportunity to kind of hear some of your trip, but not all of it. And I keep asking questions that start with this. I feel really ignorant, but... And then I'll ask you a question about Uganda. But can we just start here? Can I just ask you this, Bradley?
Yeah.
If there was one sort of message that you feel like you came back with, what would that big message be?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Okay, how about
that's
that?
That's like a really big thing.
Okay,
my message is we need to do more for people in Africa.
Okay, good. That's
there's
a good
a
message.
Lot, there's a lot of need. But really, there are. First of all, there are no dumb questions. We spent the... So for those of you who don't know, I went to Africa last week with American Refugee Committee. So that's ARC. They operate out of the Twin Cities. They're located... their headquarters are here. They've been around for a very long time, and they operate in refugee camps and settlements throughout the world, one of which is called the Nakivale Settlement in Uganda. So they decided to celebrate World Refugee Day last week, which was on Tuesday, if I remember correctly, by having a 5K run inside of the settlement with actual members of that settlement, refugees in that settlement, running to raise awareness about their cause and to also raise a bunch of money for different projects that the individuals are working on. Everything from, you know, building a garden to buying, you know, workout equipment. I mean, it runs the gamut. These people are just like you and me. The only difference is they have nothing. So they have the same aspirations, goals, desires, and things that we do. So we went last week. And so Saturday to Saturday, I, you know, got to eat, breathe, and sleep that experience. So that's why I was there. As far as a takeaway, it's probably too early to have any grandiose notion of what I just encountered.
Yeah.
But I will say there is so much that you can do. There's so much we can do. And at the end of the day, there really is very little different between, because I think the whole time, you know, being a good person like you are, you would, and myself, and I would include most other people in this, you would approach something like going to a refugee camp like, I should be very respectful. This is a very somber experience.
Right.
This is going to be very sad, and it's going to be depressing, and it's going to be very heavy and emotional, and I'm going to feel horrible because I have so much. All of those things are true, but that was just but a sliver of the entire experience, which included a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, a lot of hope, a lot of, and those are really broad terms, but I could tell you a story about each one of those to prove that that is the case. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and I think you could even see that even just from the pictures that you were able to share over your Instagram account.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there was a feeling of, I mean, you were taking very seriously what you were bringing in the sense that you were there observing a lifestyle that is so different from anything that any of us can even begin to imagine.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, there were videos of you dancing with the most joyful children in the entire world.
And I will say that that's why ARC and organizations like them, they are so amazing and they do such great work, not only because they are helping those people's lives and making their lives better, but they're also helping our lives and helping us understand that, because the theme kept being, here is a big lesson that I took away from that experience.
Mm-hmm.
in Africa was that I was like, oh, I feel so horrible that, you know, my first reaction in Africa was this. We are horrible people.
Yeah.
We have so much to give, so much to share. We have so much that we are given that we waste, don't pay attention to, don't respect, throw away. And then we argue with each other and fight, all of those things, right? And then somebody said to me, well, yeah, but keep in mind that refugees are just like you. If they had every privilege that you had, they would be, they'd have the same cares and concerns you do.
This is true.
So the lesson is not like you're horrible and you should be a better person and that these people are amazing and, you know, somehow better than everybody else. I mean, they are amazing people and they're probably better than a lot of people you know. But at the end of the day, the takeaway for me was, oh, they're just like me, mm-hmm. which means what?
Oh, geez. That they're just like you.
That like they need help.
Oh, sure.
And if I were in that situation, what would I want someone to do for me?
Help you.
Help me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
okay.
It just
so then it seems really easy.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a lesson. It reminds me, honestly, of when you went to see the Body Worlds exhibit. And everybody said this after they saw Body Worlds. That's that exhibit where they plasticized human bodies and you could see kind of the inner workings. It's that reminder that we're all the same at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? It's that we're all objects of our surroundings. We're all objects of whatever, how we were raised, who raised us, who we know, what our human experience is. That you, when you're face to face with these people who have such a unique and different perspective, world perspective from you, at the base of it, you come from the same, you know,
stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And it sounds cliche, and, you know, all of a sudden people get real like,
namaste. Oh,
we're all one, and we are but one. And then people are like, yeah, but, and whatever. But I'm here to tell you, like, if you believe me and anything that I say on a regular basis, okay, some of it you should not believe.
This is true. But, actually, don't believe everything.
But usually, that's when I'm talking about celebrities. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody starts to tell you about those people, mm-hmm. quote unquote, or what things are like, or somebody tries to tell you what the reality is for other people, I just ask yourself this question. Were they there?
Right.
Have they met those people? Do they know? Because I think a lot of us carry around ideas about things.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing more magical about my trip than you going on this trip or anybody else going on this mm-hmm. trip. You put yourself in the middle of something and then you learn about it and you share it with other people. Mm. And hopefully,
namaste.
Everything gets better. And there are no problems in the world. And celebrities can be celebrities wherever they are.
Well, you know, listen, I know a lot of people do have questions about the experience that you've just had, Bradley. And I certainly have questions. Some of them feel very shallow. Like, do they even know who Kim Kardashian is?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get around to that.
I mean, I'm not telling you whether or not they know who Kim Kardashian is, but yes.
That is a question.
That is a question.
And we'll be asking those questions throughout the show. And we've given you all listeners an opportunity to ask those questions as well on the MyTalk 1071 Facebook page at facebook.com/MyTalk1071. You can ask your question at the end of the show. Bradley's going to be able to like actually address people's actual questions.
Yeah, I don't know what my answers will be, but I'll try my best.
You'll find out. You'll figure it out, right? But I know you have some questions about what was happening
too.
Back
here. I do,
too.
So, like, this is like, you know, this is a coming together. This mm-hmm. is a sharing moment. Because the only connection I had to the world as I know it, for the most part, other than, you know, I was with actual people and mm-hmm. we were doing actual things. But the only connection I had back to sort of this world, in terms of the news and pop culture and entertainment, was CNN.
Mm-hmm.
But it was CNN International, so it was actually like a little less CNN-y.
Yeah.
So I have no clue.
Okay.
What has gone on in the world. By that, I mean pop culture.
Okay, well, let's start with Bill Cosby. Okay? So when you left, the trial was still going on. The jury was still in deliberation. You hopped on an airplane and you didn't know how this all was going to turn out. Well, I'm here to tell you it ended in a hung jury, a mistrial. There will be another trial likely. We learned the names of all 12 jurors.
Was there, I feel like I heard something about how one juror was like, he got a bad deal, and I feel like he's already suffered enough.
Okay, so there were two jurors that we learned held out. One of them, and I don't know if these two people are one and the same, but one of them felt as though, and it is 2017, I think it's important to remind you of this, one of them felt as though Andrea Constand, the defendant, no, the prosecutor.
Plaintiff,
thank you. That she had asked for the sexual encounter that she was given because she was wearing a belly-bearing shirt. She was wearing a crop top. And so she clearly, quote, wanted it.
It's 2017.
Okay, so we
no means no.
Turn the clocks back.
And if you have to drug somebody so they can't say yes or no, that also means no.
Yes. Thank you. And yes, as you mentioned, there was at least one juror who felt like he'd been he'd suffered enough punishment. Now, here's the part that I'm certain you haven't heard that I need you to hear from Bill Cosby's spokesperson's mouths. Okay.
All right.
And if you saw me fumbling around, it's because I was looking for this audio. It is so spectacular, I can't even personally recount it. Instead, you will listen to Cosby's spokespeople, Andrew Wyatt and Ebony Benson, on Good Day Alabama, while they explain to you what the next step is for Bill Cosby.
Wants to get back to work. We are now planning town halls, and we're going to be coming to this city sometime in July.
Like a town hall, just talk with people?
We'll talk to young people, because this is bigger than Bill Cosby. You know, this issue can affect any young person, especially young athletes of today. And they need to know what they're facing when they're hanging out and partying, when they're doing certain things that they shouldn't be doing. And it also affects, you know, married men.
Is it kind of a do as I say, not as I do?
Laws are changing. Laws are changing. The statute of limitations for victims of sexual assault are being extended. So this is why people need to be educated on a brush against the shoulder. You know, anything at this point can be considered sexual
assault. Are these as lawyers?
It's a good thing to be educated about the law.
These are his spokespeople. Andrew Wyatt and Ebony Benson, who apparently are very high-level spokespeople for PR disasters such as this, they have, and now they've spoken out and they've kind of backpedaled and said that this was taken out of context.
No,
you said it.
No, you said those words. I heard them. And
do you
you're
hear that?
Horrible, miserable
do
people.
Do you literally think for a hot second, like,
who's going to that?
Again, is it 2017? I'm afraid.
Actually, I would kind of want to go.
There's that. It's like, do you go because you want to see?
Yeah, because I'm a horrible person.
What the heck they're doing there?
Like, is it going to be Bill Cosby coming out doing jokes like, you won't believe this one?
Oh, interesting. You should mention that, because here's what makes him even grosser. Before
What's
this,
grosser than gross?
This. Bill Cosby. So remember when we saw this here? I'll just play it so you can actually hear it happening. This is Bill Cosby departing court. Listen closely. No, my God, no.
Do you know why he did that?
Did he just do Fat Albert?
Yes. Do you want to know why, Bradley?
Yes. And no, but yes.
Because before the trial started, Bill Cosby filed paperwork to renew the rights to the title of Fat Albert, and specifically to the copyright of Hey, 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 or the trademark of Hey,
oh
Hey,
my
Hey.
God. Somebody just needs to put a pin in that man, because he is done.
He wants to
or stick a fork in it.
Whatever.
Put
stick
a pin in
something
the,
in it.
Stick
I don't
a fork in him. That's what I meant to say, because he's done.
He wants to re-release DVDs, etc., and then watch the money roll in. You guys, gross. Okay, what's grosser than gross?
Bill Cosby.
Thank you.
All right. You know what's not grosser than gross? Marley McMillan. She's got all the latest from Hollywood and a lot more when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.
Previously on Jason and Alexis.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show. Here with all the latest from Hollywood, it's Marley McMillan. She's got the Dirt Alert.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, just a moment there.
Technical difficulties.
Here. I'm
Hello.
Technical
you're still
difficulties.
With us.
Hello. Okay, the Beyonce Jay-Z babies have been brought home. They have just been brought home from the hospital. I don't know if you knew that. They were born about 2 weeks ago, and they were actually in there. TMZ is reporting that they were still in there because they were born prematurely, and they were still placed under the light, presumably to cure jaundice.
Yeah.
But that they were brought home today.
They put them under heat lamps?
They put them under, we called them the Arby's heat lamps at our house. Nice. They're bilirubin lights, which I also think sounds like a great club. Club name, but they put them under those lights to get kind of the coloring back, the right kind of coloring back in their skin, plus their blood back to where it needs to be. And 2 weeks, really, for premature twins, that's not bad.
Colleen Lindstrom, twins whisperer.
Yeah, twin expert.
I knew Colleen was going to have the
skinny?
Yes,
the
skinny
twinnies.
On that.
See what I did there?
But the twinnies are home now, and home is quote-unquote home because they're staying at a $400,000 a month Malibu rental at this point, actually, because they're continuing to search for their own L.A. home. They haven't been able to find it. The one that they're staying at right now sounds absolutely insane. It's on the market for $54.5 million, has a rose garden, tennis court, pool house, but undoubtedly maybe those aren't being really used because they're just caring for the babies at this point.
I'm actually surprised that they didn't, like, we had initially heard that she was trying to build an entire hospital wing onto her home. I'm kind of surprised they didn't just, like, bring those babies home, grab some billy lights and
stick
them in the fry thing.
Okay, yep.
You know, where they put the fries after and then they put the salt on
the Arby's heat lamp.
Oh, yeah.
Sits under the light. Not the deep fat fryer.
No, that would be bad.
And inappropriate.
There's a little piece of me that's surprised that they didn't kind of try to go that route.
Sure, that they weren't kind of able to skirt that.
Right.
Like the celebs can.
Mm-hmm.
No word on the name yet. There's only those rumors that those babies are named Sean and B, which I still refuse to believe because it hasn't been picked up by anywhere else. And it was initially Sean published by B. Not a very reliable source.
Yeah. The thought behind it is that the boy would be named Sean Jr. because that's Jay-Z's real name and B is after Beyonce.
And I have to say, part of the reason I also don't believe it is just because that would be so confusing. Everyone calls Beyonce B, and I think Jay does too. So I don't really believe it yet. We're gonna have to wait till we hear from the actual parents or family members.
All right, we'll sit on that.
Okay, let's move on to a new couple, a possible new couple.
Ooh.
Chris Martin and Katy Perry.
Weird.
Weird. But
although they're both similarly, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. What are you
musically
trying to
inclined?
Say?
They're both sort of a tasteless pop.
Okay, that noise can stop.
Singer, people like they sing some songs that are kind of hits, but they're not very deep.
You have this not.
I'm sorry,
this
I have not been
through.
Here for a week. I don't have words.
This is also a deep thought coming
from
you,
Jack
Hamby. Mm-hmm. Well, they were spotted at Glastonbury over the weekend at the music festival, and The Sun is saying that an onlooker spied them holding hands as they were watching a concert, that Katy Perry was wearing a big coat and a hood, but that when someone spotted her, they were holding hands, she dropped his hand, but before that, she was whispering in his ear and laughing. These two actually collaborated earlier this year. They both played One Love Manchester. Chris Martin has spoken in the past about his admiration for Katy Perry's music. So I think that one could have some truth behind it.
It could have some legs.
It could have some legs.
I wouldn't
legs.
Be surprised, but it just seems really like boo, boring, vanilla.
Yeah, I guess I'm bored by her right now.
Just a little too
much. Katy Perry, you're just boring me.
I'm just bored by her. I don't know why. I think it's because, you know what? Her antics worked. All that stuff she did to get traction for that album worked. Bradley, did you hear? I mean, it was number one on the Billboard charts, like, right after it dropped.
I like that one song. Na 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 na.
Is Bradley still on vacation?
I'm not sure.
It's going to take me, re-entry takes about 48 hours.
This is what we're doing. We're just giving him sort of like a hug with our eyes whenever he does something weird like that. Like,
yeah, we're like, bless your heart.
He's just back.
I don't think I've understood a single word that's come out of Bradley's mouth since I walked
world.
In here.
Welcome to my
that's
world.
Very different. Okay, and the final little piece of news I want to give you is that DeMario Jackson from Bachelor in Paradise has sat down for a 3-part, 2-night interview with Melanie Bromley of E! News. to tell his side of the story. So DeMario Jackson, the one that was in that sexual interaction from Bachelor in Paradise that launched the internal investigation, ultimately they figured out that there was no misconduct, or at least that none of the footage supported those misconduct allegations. Yeah, he's going on E! News. This is going to be a two-night thing that's starting to air tonight on E! And also tomorrow. And he says in it that it was really painful. It was stressful. It's hard to see your mom cry every single day. Mm. My dad kept me extremely strong, kept me grounded and humble, but having your mom cry every day, that is something for something that you know you didn't do. So I'm wondering what else we're going to hear from him.
Can I just say, though, genius on E's part to get this story and be able to flesh it out in a way that nobody else has been able to yet.
Yeah, I do think that it's a good get. When it said DeMario Jackson exclusive sit down, I was kind of wondering who's sitting down with him.
Right. Who is?
But it's Melanie Bromley of E. So,
oh, yeah, you said that.
I'm just wondering what he's going to say, if it's actually going to help or hurt his case. But
I'm
interested to watch. So they have me there.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. Thank you for being
guys.
With us today, Marley, of course, from the Donna and Marley Show.
Yeah. Good luck there today, Colleen.
Thanks, Marley. I'm going to need it.
We'll get there.
We'll get somewhere.
I'm going to hit a wall.
We'll be here.
We'll be right back.
My Talk. See more at mytalk1071.com. I'm on my way.
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. Streaming live, doing everything entertainment at MyTalk107.1.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and don't forget, you guys, we're trying to get Zac Efron's attention. It's called The Hunt for Hot Zactober.
They consider him the hottest actor in Hollywood.
Bradley, we need to find a way to get him on our show.
He showed his 8-pack in Baywatch.
I've reached out to his dad.
We've been tweeting him constantly.
He's Zac Efron, and Colleen and Bradley want him on their show.
Maybe I could use my Josh Hartnett connection?
Damn it, Colleen, now is the time!
My Talk 107.1 and Team Cobra present The Hunt for Hot Zactober.
I think I know someone who slept with him once. Maybe.
Morning show producer Don McLean, you need to find that person who knows that person and make it happen.
Oh, hey, like my sister is like a hair and makeup agent out in Hollywood. So, and she might know someone.
Production guy Rocco, why hasn't this come up before?
I didn't really feel like bothering her.
Bother her now!
The only celebrity I know is the heavy kid from Mighty Ducks, Aaron Schwartz.
That's not gonna cut it, Dawn.
It says on his IMDb that he was recently in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I forgot about that.
Dawn, get a hold of him yesterday.
Bradley, don't you know anybody famous? Like famous drag queens or something?
Kaha, it's a long shot, but it just might work. Hello? Lady Bunny?
Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer, intern Kaha, morning show producer Don McLean, and maybe the fat kid from Mighty Ducks who we think recently was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Don's friend of a friend who might have slept with Zac Efron in the last few years. Crossing our fingers for Josh Hartnett. Maybe production guy Rocco's sister in L.A.? And hopefully Zac Efron star in The Hunt for Hot Zactober. Coming soon, we hope.
Oh, God, have you found him yet?
I have an update for you, Bradley.
You do? Well, before we get to the update, mm-hmm. We do have another idea how to get Zach's attention, because that's our goal, is to get Zach's attention by October. But apparently I did miss something last week in a development for mm-hmm. the hashtag Hunt for Hot Zactober. Tell me.
So, as you recall, and as I said in the trailer for The Hunt for Hot Zactober, in our effort to get Zac Efron on our show by October, I had mentioned that I'd reached out to his dad. I did some.
Did you hear back from his dad?
I did. I heard back from his dad. I did some of my best internet research to obtain an email that I thought might be his dad's email. And I sent an email to it. And on Monday at 9:51 a.m., this came into my inbox.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Colleen. Sorry I didn't get back to you sooner. I was traveling out of town last week. I appreciate the interview offer, but I probably would have passed anyhow. Not sure how you got my email, but please don't share it.
Stalker.
Best, Zac Efron's dad.
Oh my God, you got a response from Zac Efron's dad.
It's not over yet. This is the
you
best
made contact
part.
With his dad.
I know, but it gets better.
The man who gave his DNA.
I know.
So that we could all have Zac Efron.
I know, but here's the best part, okay? Because okay. You read it that far and you go, okay, like, I get it. He's super polite and he's basically like, you're a weird stalker. Yeah. Please delete this and never speak to me again. But he says it super nicely and I'm fine with that, right?
Yeah.
There's a P.S.,
oh.
And this is where I feel like...
Yes, here's Zach's number?
We have some leverage. Okay. Or like, at least he leaves a little... The door what? Open just a crack.
Okay.
P.S.
I'll take a Zac Efron crack.
I know. By the way, I can't explain why, having lived my whole life in California, the Vikings are my team. He loves the Vikings.
Oh my God. So he totally thought you were a stalker, but then he's like... Oh, by the
which
way,
which to me just that feels like a kind of like a short side hug. I feel like I got a short side hug from Zac Efron's dad.
Oh my God!
I got an email side hug. I feel good about this.
Did you respond to him?
Not yet. I am going to.
No, I think you should. And I think you should say, you know what? Look, I realize this is totally bizarre and creepy. I totally get it. But also, do you have any nudes?
Okay, you know what? I feel like we're in a good place.
Okay, that might
I think
be too far.
Asking his father okay, if he true. Has any fair nudes point. Of fair his point. Son.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, he probably does, but they're probably like, you know, 2 year old.
Ew. Okay. Never
not
mind.
2 years old now. I mean,
back
when he was two.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get what you mean.
Okay.
So
these are old. They're from a couple years ago.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't help you with any current nudes. Here's Zac Efron on a bearskin rug as a wee lad.
So anyway, I feel like that's progress. I feel like we're...
I think you I didn't feel like get we're totally tip-toeing. Shut out.
Right. Thank you.
And
yes.
What you need to do in your response here is to just say, yep, totally get it. Sorry to bother you. And then leave a P.S. that's something like, if you... I know it's weird, but like if you could totally just let him know that we need to make human contact by... Actually, you should explain to him the Hunt for Hot Zactober.
Well, I was going to, but everybody felt like that sounded a little too stalkerish.
No. Again, you do that as the PS.
Oh, okay.
Learn from him.
Can I also invite him to come and stay at my house if he'd like to come and see the Vikings?
No.
Okay.
No,
is that's too far?
That's just gross.
Okay. See, I'm not good with these kind of social things.
Yeah.
So thank you. That is too far. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Can I ask him if Zach likes the Vikings, if Zach would like to come and stay at my house?
No. You can't just ask for what you want. You have to go like, you have to do, this is chess, not checkers.
Oh,
so chess means we need to be thinking two steps ahead.
Yeah.
So
we need to be anticipating
all you want
their
to
next
do
move.
Right now is maintain the relationship. You don't want to give your ask immediatamente. You want to have that in the back pocket for when the moment is right, for when he's literally sitting in front of you.
Okay. Keep your ask in the back pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. Just keep your ask right there in the back.
I see what you're doing.
Did you say you had an idea? Because I think now is the time to share it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I totally forgot that I have a brilliant idea for how we can hunt down Zac Efron. So, okay, you can't get in touch with his dad.
I mean, I
tried. Have you worked on his mom?
No, I felt like we just go one at a time.
Yeah.
Knock him down one at a time.
TikTok.
She's next, man.
Yeah,
she's
TikTok.
Next.
TikTok. I mean, hairstylist. Certainly somebody we know has a connection to Zac Efron. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God. I have an idea, but now I've got another idea. Justin Anderson from DP Hill.
Oh, my. Why haven't we used that connection?
I don't know. Because he kind of flaked out a little bit on us when we tried to get some intel on who?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
T-Swiz.
Yeah. So, but we'll
stick a pin in that,
Justin Anderson.
But that wasn't the idea that you were cooking up.
No, the idea that I was cooking up was simply this. So I'm reading the internets, as you do, And I hear this headline. Your partner is most likely to be contacting their mistress on Monday mornings.
What?
Oh.
Turns out that Monday morning at 8 a.m. is the, quote, golden hour for affair seekers.
Ooh.
The time when your partner is most likely to be contacting their mistress than any other day or than any other time during the week. Over 100,000 messages are sent between affair seekers on any given week, with an average of 600 messages sent per hour. Blah, blah, blah. The least popular time for sending a message to your mistress? Saturday morning between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Well, duh.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
That's family time.
Oh. What? Okay.
Yeah.
Adulterers,
you can't be mistressing at that point.
Adulterers were also asked how they hide their affair from their partner, with calling them by a name of the opposite gender.
Okay, so ooh. I'm kind of confused. What does Zach have to do with this?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Well, okay, so put yourself in my mind, Seth.
I'm there all the time.
Which is that we kind of feel like Zac Efron is our mistress.
Yes.
We want to have an affair.
Yes.
With Zac Efron.
Correct.
Ergo,
mm-hmm.
the best time to get in touch with Zac Efron is at 8 a.m.
on a Monday.
Morning.
Oh, it's already come and gone.
I know. So we can do a little planning for next week. We should be tweeting him at between 8 and 9 a.m. on Monday morning.
Okay.
And that would be his time. His time.
Okay. So that would be like between 10 and 11 our time.
It is the golden hour. Also, here are some other things we need to have.
Okay, what?
We need to call him by a name other than his gender would indicate.
Mm, like Zelda?
Oh.
I don't know. I was trying to go with something with a Z. There aren't a lot of lady
Zacharina,
names.
Zakira? That's a drag queen locally. Her name's Zakira. What's her name? Zakira? Or is that Shakira I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Hips don't lie.
That was Sharkira.
My God, if I came back as another drag queen, I would come back as Sharkira. And I would too. I'm sorry, we've gone off the rails. But the other thing we need to do, according to this article, again, people most likely to contact their mistresses between 8 and 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. Also to call them by name other than their gender would indicate. Also important, burner phone. We need to get a burner phone. See, this
I feel
help
like that's
us.
A bridge too far.
No.
Okay.
I think this would help us get into contact with Zac Efron. If we had a burner phone, we could just keep dialing numbers and see if we got you're not buying.
Nope, that one right again, bridge too far.
It says call your adulterer by a different name.
Okay.
If her name is Christina, Chris would be a substitute. A burn phone.
Mm.
Finally, no exchanging of photos is highly recommended.
As
pictures of the unknown person on your phone would be sure to alert your partner.
I will tell you, I do have pictures of Zach on my phone.
So do I.
Okay. Let's, you know.
But anyway,
admitted that out loud.
I just put a pin in between 8 and 9 a.m.
Got it.
Pacific time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
like, right, it's like 10 to 11 a.m. our time.
Oh, okay. So that'll be right before the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put an alert on my calendar.
Okay.
All right. Good. Good.
Done and
good
done.
Good meeting
Hunt
on the,
for Hot
the committee
continues.
Of Hunt for Hot Zachtober.
Yep. No, this has been a nice meeting. Did you take meeting minutes?
Copious notes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, Ugandan food?
You kinda be kidding me.
Uganda, come on back to the Colleen and Bradley Show right here on My Talk 107.1. Oh, also, before we leave, sorry, Colleen had a Zima. We'll talk about it. Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live and doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and I don't know if you know this, but I just got back from Uganda.
Bradley, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, God.
You got to be kidding me, Bradley.
I am not kidding you. Okay, so all sorts of weird moments happened throughout our trip to Uganda over the last week. And I just thought I could share maybe a couple things with you. So,
okay, I do have one big question though, because I think I have no frame of reference for this.
Yeah.
What is the food, the cuisine of Uganda?
You know, that's a great question. I had no idea, really. They gave us a little bit of a heads up. They were like, look, there's a lot of starch. Just be ready for that.
Okay.
And I was like, well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Uganda, relatively, they make a lot less money than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it would not surprise you that there's a lot of starch, not as much protein, right? Although I will tell you this, there was a cow like every 50 yards in Uganda. Like everybody had a cow.
Just kicking it with the cow?
Just kicking it, like hanging out with the cow.
Mm.
And goats. So first buffet night, we go at the hotel where everybody checks in, everybody's there, and they're like, oh, we're going to have dinner out on the patio. So we all go out. Starch, 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 protein. On the buffet. Literally, it was nothing but starch. And I remarked at that time, I was like, whoa, you know, like, because we're all like, we don't eat carbs.
Yeah.
Carbs are,
it's like not a thing here.
Just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They eat a lot of carbs.
Okay. So like when you say starch, like give me, like, I can only think of like two starch options.
Rice, beans, plantains. There's a thing called matoke.
Mm-hmm.
Matoke is the driest mashed potato flavored tasting thing. But really what matoke is a plantain that is not ripe yet that has been steamed.
Mm.
No.
Interesting.
Don't make the sound. No,
that was more of a hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like not a lot of flavor going on, which surprised me because I thought, you know, I feel like there's going to be some flavors, some chili peppers.
Yeah, stuff you've never... That you don't get regularly here.
Things.
Yeah.
No, not really. Salt and pepper.
Okay.
Anyway, so I remarked that first night at the buffet. I was like, wow, I mean, you guys, I don't really eat all these carbs, so it's going to be hard for me to eat all this stuff. Ha ha. So then a few days
did
later.
Did you really say that? Did people look at you with a side eye, or were they like, yeah, me too?
I mean, we all just kind of, you know, had a laugh.
Right.
Like, yes, first world problems.
Yes. Yeah.
And later in the week, we had the chance to sort of, most of this trip was organized for us. So we didn't have to, we really didn't have to work very hard other than just soak up the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So dinners mostly were taken care of, but there was a night where it was like, choose your own adventure on the menu. And I was like, good, here's my chance to finally explore the, you know, highs and lows of Ugandan cuisine.
Yeah.
Now, there was a lot of Indian food because India it has a huge influence in Africa.
Yeah.
When it comes to food. But I was like, I've had Indian food.
Right.
So I would like to try this. Oh, look at this mixed grill plate.
Okay. Mixed grill. Sounds good. It's, that's like a sampler.
Three different kinds of protein on it. I'm all in. And by the way, it had some side dishes, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, when my food came, the side dishes never appeared. So what I was treated to that night was literally the largest plate of protein that I'd ever seen.
It's kind of exciting.
It was as if you'd gone to that restaurant downtown.
Yeah, Fogo de Chao.
Fogo de Chao. And
they shaved everything onto your plate.
They literally shaved everything.
You just kept the green light. Keep it coming.
There was something they don't that you don't probably see a lot of on menus here. Goat.
Oh, yeah.
Because in addition to everybody having a cow, everybody also has goats. So I was like, cool, I'll eat some goat. It was awesome. The meat situation, I don't know if this is a typical Ugandan experience, but the meat situation was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like I'd eaten an entire plate of somewhere between like a steak and a bag of beef jerky. Somewhere in between there, it lied the experience.
Interesting.
It had a lot of flavor, so I'll give them that. But then, as if to, you know, the universe saying to me, fine, you want to complain about starch? You're not getting any for this meal. And I actually would have enjoyed some. So,
you know why this is interesting to me? Because I've known you for many, many years. And I've been in situations where you've not had control over your meals.
Yeah.
And you liked, you're a planner.
Yeah.
You like to kind of know what you're going to eat when, and you eat very properly. And so you make sure you get the right macronutrients, et cetera. So I kind of, you know, might have liked
lesson.
To have been a fly on the wall for that.
It was, trust me, it was one of those things where I'm like, I am not going to complain.
Because you're
eating.
I'm not going
to bitch about the meat.
Yes.
When the people that I just spent the day with will not be getting any of this food.
Yeah.
Trust
exactly.
me, I had all of those thoughts
all
in my head.
All of the perspective.
Yes.
Wow, I don't even know how to transition into this. Bradley, I drank a Zima on Saturday.
Wow, world traveler.
Right?
Tell me more about
this
Zima.
Okay, so here's the deal. You know, I think Zima is owned by like Miller or something, you know, one of those big conglomerates.
Yeah.
And they decided that, boy, the world just needs another hit of Zima. So for a limited time.
I mean, it's smart. Everything 90s is new again.
Exactly. They've re-released Zima for your tasting pleasure. Now, I will tell you, so my husband went to our neighborhood liquor store and he was just getting like, you know, a couple, he was getting some beer. We were having some friends over on Saturday night. And when he was checking out, there were 2 6-packs of Zima sitting there that like the rest had been cleaned out. And he was like, oh, there's 2 left. He was like, you know what? I'm going to get one. Why not? You know, we all remember the 90s. That was kind of the drink of choice. So he brought it home. We had 6 adults at our house. And so each person got a Zima. Well, first of all, you can't drink a Zima without everybody taking a picture of the bottle. So I got 1 picture of my own bottle and 1 picture of all of my friends taking a picture of the Zima. Now, here's my takeaway on the Zima experience.
Was it more of a photo op or was it
a
mouth op?
It was more of a photo op. You know, it was fine, but the 90s can keep the Zima. We've got more fun things happening
here. So let's bring back maybe some, you know, other things.
I don't know. Like, yeah, something good. I can't think of anything right now.
All right. When we come back, Beyonce's baby names right here on My Talk 107.1.
My Talk 107.1.